might not hear much about that you haven't heard before, but it's a good renewal, a good verse that we need to study on. But I want to talk about and preach today about singing anyway.
Amen.
There's a lot of times this world gives you a hard time, gets on you, and too many times I see Christians, when the storms come and the difficulties come and troubles come our way, we go to singing, but we go to singing the blues. Good grief. I want you to know that God has everything in control.
Amen.
And it will work out for our good if we do things His way. That's the only time it's going to work out for our good. We can mess things up. How many of you know that it wasn't God's plan for Lot to move into Sodom?
Right.
He messed up him. He messed up his family. Why? Because he was doing that's where the money was. He even became one of the counselors, city counselors there in town, because he was sitting at the gate. But God's got a plan. And we think it's going to work out. If we get away from God's plan, it's not going to work. Let's stand in honor of the word of God. We're going to start with verse 19 and following. If you know the background of where we're going to start, it's talking about Paul and Silas, and they've just been told to go into Macedonia, which is the first step. They're the first missionaries in Europe. That's Greece, where Macedonia is. And so they're going in, and they met with and saw Lydia get saved. We saw the ladies at the river where they normally meet to pray. And Lydia got saved and baptized. And then they run into this lady, or these men who had this girl who was demon possessed. She had a devil in her. And they were making money off of her. So and then what happened was Paul and Silas, they cast the devil out of her, and they couldn't make money off of her anymore. How many of you know you're going to make people mad if you get, even if you teach them the truth, if you mess with their money? That's what's going on in Washington, by the way. Okay? They go to messing with the money. A lot of those people up there, they are multi-millionaires. Anyway, we'll get into the message, but look at verse 19 and following, and it said, "When her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans.' And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." If you wanted somebody to be safe, you wouldn't beat on them, right? Anyway, it was the fact that they didn't want them to get loose. And it says, "Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, He drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your many, many blessings. And Lord, once again, this preacher needs you. These people, we collectively need you. And Lord, we beg you for your Holy Spirit to take over this service, to take over this preacher, to fill me and teach me and have me say what you want said, not what I think I need to say. But Lord, you take over my mouth, my mind, my heart. And Lord, let us hear from heaven. And Lord, we love you. We're gathered around your table wanting to feast on the Word of God. Let us do that today. So much so that when we leave this place, we're filled with your Word and your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage, and you know the story a little bit, I imagine. But it says here that they got to meddling. Why would Paul and Silas even bother with this girl? Well, if you look at verse 18, it says, "Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus, come out of her." He was burdened for the girl. You know, these guys, that her masters, I'm not sure how that worked, whether she was a slave girl, whether she was the daughter of one of the men, how that all worked, but I know that for a fact that Paul was concerned not about the men, not about the crowd. He was concerned for the girl. You do know that people cannot get saved if there's an evil spirit inside. Okay? First thing you've got to do to get somebody saved is get that spirit out. The Holy Spirit cannot move in where there's an evil spirit. That's why Jesus was constantly casting out spirits. But there's a danger if the spirit's cast out and that person doesn't get saved. The Bible says that there's going to be seven more spirits coming. He's going to bring back some friends. Come back in the house. Come back in the person. But he's coming here and he's talking here. And look at what happens. It's interesting. If you study out through the Bible, all the times that the spirits actually do some serious preaching and introduce people to Jesus. Look at verse 17. It talks about these men. This is what the girl said. She cried, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Now that's some serious preaching there. I wish every church had that. Amen? So many of them get away from what's really important. The most important thing in a church is not how much they spend for fellowships. The most important thing is not how good they make you feel. The most important thing is not how good the praise and worship band is. The most important thing is whether they're teaching you the truth about how to get to heaven. Amen. If they're not teaching that, listen to me close. If they're not teaching you how to get saved, they are not a church. Amen. It's a club, a fraternity, but it is not one of the Lord's churches. Because that's what the Lord called all his churches to do. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And as much as we might like to do other things, I like having youth rallies and I like having fellowships, but it's all, and we've even talked about the possibility of having some extra singing on fifth Sunday night next week. But you know what we are going to have? We're going to have preaching. Okay? Because God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Okay, so we're always going to have preaching. If we don't have preaching tonight with Brother Matthew, Brother Matthew's going to be filling in for me tonight because I'm going to be giving a report at another church. But let me know if he don't preach tonight, okay? If he gets up here and gives his opinion or talks about the weather or sports or anything like that. I know he's not going to do that. I wouldn't entrust a Sunday night service or any service to him if I felt like that was going to happen. But this girl was preaching. And she had a demon inside of her. We got people that say they're saved and can't preach. Oh my. Got quiet then. Got quiet. The most important thing this world needs is to know the way of salvation, right? What good does it? And I tell people all the time when I'm knocking doors, I tell them right up front, if you live 969 years like Methuselah, and yes, Methuselah really lived 969 actual years, just like 2019 is a year. He had 969 of them. Lord, please don't let me do that. If you live 969 years like Methuselah did, and you become as wealthy as Bill Gates or George Soros, and you die without Jesus, you still lose. You still lose. And this woman, or this girl, was teaching the way of salvation. So why did Paul mess her up? Because she still wasn't saved. That was the Spirit teaching. You know that those spirits, when they're confronted with the truth, they can only say what God lets them say. That's why sometimes when Jesus confronted those spirits, they came up and said, "We know who you are, thou Son of the Most High. Art thou come to torment us before the time?" They knew who was going to torment them. They knew it wasn't time yet. But they knew there was a time when Jesus was going to torment those evil spirits. Right. The shame of it is there's going to be a lot of people that go into torments and they don't need to. Right. And we go through this and what, like we talked a little bit about John the Baptist this morning in Sunday school. And John the Baptist, he got in trouble with Herod. Why? Because he told him the truth. You know, he could have saved himself a whole lot of trouble by just keeping his mouth shut. But I want to tell you something, a real preacher is not made that way.
That's right.
Real Christians ought not be that way either. We need to stand up for the Lord.
Amen.
We're in a country that's got so many yelling so-called Christians, they're so ashamed of Jesus that they don't want anybody to know that they're saved. And probably the truth is a lot of them aren't. If you're ashamed of Jesus, the Bible says he in Romans chapter 10, verse 11, it's right there. I think it's right there in your bulletin in the paragraph. It says, Romans, last phrase in the paragraph, it says, Romans 10, 11 says, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed."
Amen.
Ouch. When I started passing out tracts, I found these tracts and I love chick tracts. I pass them out like crazy and praise God for Gerald who buys them for us by the thousands, pays the shipping and everything. When I found those, I started passing them out. But what I would do is I would take the tract, look around and see if anybody's looking, and I'd set it on the magazine rack in the grocery store. I did that a little while, and then I look around, and as I'm checking out, I'll set something down there, one down there where the candy is. Then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just gouged me. He said, "Brian, are you ashamed of me?" I shouldn't be. Give this cashier a track. Put it in her hand. Yes, Lord. I can't tell you how many I've passed out in the last 30 years. Why? More times than not, when you put a track in somebody's hand, they thank you. When I go to a drive-thru and hand a track to the girl at the window and say, some of them have never seen them. There's a lot of them that have seen them, because we've passed out about 35,000 since we started the church, and probably 150,000 since I started passing them out. But when I put one in somebody's hand and they look at it kind of curious, they said, they'll say, "What's this?" I said, "That's a Christian comic book, and it'll tell you how to get to heaven. I want to see you in heaven, and it'll tell you how to get there." Now, how's somebody going to get upset over that? "I don't want to go." No, they don't say that. They thank me. We as Christians that need to be more active in doing this, even if, especially since this devil did some good preaching. Amen? But let's go on. And this is what happened. Paul and Silas got thrown in jail over what? Casting out the devil in this girl. You know, this world will get you upset. Now, you're not in a politically correct church, okay? I'm not a politically correct preacher. You do know that they're on a witch hunt for our president.
Right.
You do know that the only thing they've got on him is him trying to do what's best for our country. This world does not like it when you do good. They do not like that. You make them look bad. I got news for them. They don't need any help to look bad. Amen? If you're going to not do the right thing, you're doing bad and look bad all by yourself. When you do the right thing, expect people to oppose you. In fact, Jesus went as far as to say, "Woe be unto you when all men speak well of you." I'd rather him speak well of me.
Amen.
And everybody else cuss me out. Because he's the one I've got to live for. He's the one that I owe everything to.
Amen.
But let's move on. What happened to Paul and Silas?
I've been in jail quite a few times.
You say, "Yeah?"
Oh, yeah. I've preached in a bunch of them. Never been locked up. Okay, so don't worry about that. You can look on the jail or the inmate website or the criminal background website. It's boring reading if you put my name in, amen? If you won't find me. But the truth is, it's an interesting place to preach. Paul and Silas were locked up, and they said, "You make sure these guys don't get loose." That's what they told the jailer. So what did he do? He put them in the innermost prison, the center of the prison. Now, those were not very accommodating prisons, okay? Probably had no light. In fact, we see where the jailer had to bring the light in to see whether the prisoners were still there. But when they put them in the center of the prison, you know what Paul and Silas, I think one of the things that they liked was the fact that they, even though they had been beaten, they were in the center of the prison and everybody could hear what they were preaching and praying and singing.
One of the things that I wrote in my Bible, I don't know whether somebody else said this or whether the Holy Spirit stirred me to write it, but it says, being in jail did not shake their faith. Their faith shook the jail.
Amen.
Think about that. Does your faith shake the situation you're in? Or does the situation shake your faith?
See, God's God, right? He can handle it all, right? If we die destitute and homeless, if we're saved, we're still going to heaven, right?
That's right.
This world's just a temporary place.
Amen.
The key is, why would they start preaching and praying and singing and all in the prison? Well, for one thing, they love Jesus. What do you think they might have been singing? I've always wondered about that. I know they weren't singing, "Oh Lord, why me?" They weren't singing songs like that. "Nobody knows what trouble I've seen."
They didn't sing things like that. "Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me." I want to tell you something.
When they got started singing and praying, what caused that earthquake? Maybe God said amen. Maybe God's big booming bass voice started singing too and shook the jail. I don't know. But I want you to know something. God showed up in a special way. And that's what happened. I want you to know. Think about this. This is a prison that had no lights and it was midnight. How dark can it get? They probably could. I remember this. Becky might remember, but remember it. I know Sharon does. We were in the mountains, and she may not because she was asleep, but we were in the mountains one time. I think the first time we went up the mountains, and the power went out. Last night we were going to be up there in the place. We'd rented a cabin up there, and it's on the side of the mountain and kind of wooded around it. And the power went out. Sharon's waking me up in the middle of the night. "Brian, power's out." And we're in a strange place. I don't know where the breaker box is. I don't know where. We didn't bring a flashlight. I didn't have anything like that. So I'm sitting there looking around, trying to. And it was so dark that I had to make sure my eyelids were opening and closing because I could not see what. I couldn't tell. That's how dark it was. Then all of a sudden my eyes started adjusting and she said, "There's something flickering over there. It looked like somebody outside with a flashlight." And all we could think of, oh good grief, somebody's outside trying to break in. They pulled the breaker box outside. They pulled the breaker box. And so here I am, brave me. I get my gun. Now I'm holding it down because I know the kids are in the other room. And I'm kind of feeling my way through, but I see that flickering she was talking about. And I'm kind of slowly walking. I get to the little hallway, go out of the room we were in. The kids were up to the left. And I start laughing. I mean, I busted out laughing. I couldn't even stop laughing to tell her what it was. But Becky and Bill, I guess you were probably 10, 12, something like that. The two of them had gathered up some lightning bugs and put them in a little McDonald's salad clear container. And those lightning bugs were around the corner. And it was so dark that we could see the lightning bugs flashing around the corner. But I got to thinking about those lightning bugs, because what were they doing? They were just doing what comes natural. Where'd they get that light? God put it in them. Where do you get your light? If you're saved, God's put you a light in there. Now you can hide it, but the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
It was dark in that jail. You hear me? You know, when times get dark, that's the time to sing. When times get dark, that's the time to get your eyes off of your circumstances and look at the great God we serve. That's the time. Anybody can sing God's praises in the good time. But Paul and Silas, it couldn't get any darker. They were been beaten. They were in jail. They were shackled. It was midnight. And they just started praising. And all of a sudden, God did something special. And he showed up in a mighty way. Now, I preached not long ago what made this prisoner stay. And I believe it was that preaching. I think they wanted to get saved. I mean, why wouldn't you run out of a jail when an earthquake comes loose and you've got the doors wide open? Why wouldn't you leave? Only one reason. There's something inside the jail you want. And that jailer woke up. Don't you think the earthquake woke him up? Amen. And that jailer comes up and he sees the prison doors open. And he knows for a fact, he doesn't even look around, he knows for a fact that the prisoners are gone. He's just sure as shooting that the prisoners are gone. And he pulls out his sword. He's going to kill himself. And Paul cries out, do thyself no harm. We're all here. And at that point, look at what it says in verse 30. Well, 29 and 30. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, I want to spend a second here. He's asking what to do, how you got to get saved, right?
Yep.
Not have your sins remitted. He's asking how to get saved. If Paul doesn't tell him you got to be baptized, get saved and baptized, and baptism is part of salvation, Paul lied to this jailer. But Paul didn't lie to this jailer. He didn't tell him to go out and do good works. He didn't tell him to go out and join a church. He didn't tell him to go out and try to remedy the situations that you've caused and make things right. He told him, you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And thou shalt be saved. And why did he say, in thy house? He said, in thy house, because when you get saved, the greatest burden you're going to have is your family.
That's right.
Amen.
That's the greatest burden. You know what happens when you get saved? You become a missionary.
Amen.
In your own family. Sometimes you're a missionary at work. Amen. I get more chances to preach on the bus than I do it out here at church. And you know what? A lot of people need it.
Amen.
But he said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. That's the only way anybody's going to heaven. If you don't believe on Jesus, if you don't put your trust in Him, you cannot avoid the lake of fire. The lake of fire is going to be your eternal home. And it's going to be even worse because you had a chance. You've been in a church. You heard the gospel. You heard the truth. The most important thing is to get that settled. Paul told him what you need to know to get saved. And you think they were having a good time before the jailer got saved? What about after the jailer got saved? They were really shouting. They were really having a good time. I want to tell you something. I talked to yesterday. Aaron was with me. We were knocking doors. Two different times yesterday, I got goosebumps. Right, Aaron? Why? Because two people got saved. Amen. For each one of them. I mean, it just thrilled my soul. I can make a fool out of myself, and sometimes, and there have been times I have. I'm going to go ahead and tell this story. When we started the church in Kansas City, Barbara Carpenter was she was with us from day one. We had a week of meetings. She was there every one of the meetings. We ended up having to move to another school for our services for 2 weeks. She was at every meeting, Sunday morning, Sunday night. We had to move again to the banquet room at the La Quinta there on Berry Road. She was there every Sunday morning, Sunday night. We moved over, finally found a place to rent. She was there, and we opened up for membership. She was the first one down the aisle, okay? Came as soon as we opened for membership. But there was somebody who wasn't real happy about that. Her husband. He would, sometimes Clarence would bring her to church. And he'd drop her off. And I'd try to get out the door and catch him. And he'd take off before I could even talk to him. It took a little while. They had a little riff. She told him, I'm not, and they separated a little while. She said, I'm not coming back home unless you go to church with me. That's what she said. She said, I don't like going to church by myself. I want you to go with me. So he started coming to church. He got to meeting the people. I think it was October or November 2012 that she passed away. She had had renal failure. She was on dialysis. But she made Clarence promise to keep coming to church even after she was gone. Clarence kept coming. He made friends at church. Then I left. And Brother Magus took over a few months later. Clarence kept coming. I guess it was maybe a year and a half later. I remember it was in December. Warren Garraway was with us, and we took Brother Garraway over across to Denny's, and we were eating there, and Brother Magus called me, and I threw a holy fit right there in Denny's. I mean, I'm stomping my feet and I'm banging on the back of the booth and I'm just saying, amen, Clarence got saved. When you pray for somebody to get saved and you pray and you pray and you pray, and all I could see is me facing Miss Carpenter in heaven, and she's going to have her finger in my face saying, why didn't you get Clarence saved? And now Clarence has gone home to be with the Lord, and he and Miss Carpenter are together. Amen. I want to tell you something. That's shouting ground.
when you pray for somebody to get saved, and you pray for somebody to get saved, and you pray for them to trust Jesus, which is the only way they're going to get saved.
That's right.
You don't understand everything when you get saved. You just understand He understands everything.
That's right.
And He's got it all taken care of.
Amen.
That's the most important thing.
What do you got to do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says neither is there any other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Anybody trusting in Buddha, Allah, Confucius, Muhammad, Joseph Smith, Charles Russell, Charles Darwin, themselves, anybody else, any other religion, they're going to split hell wide open. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way. Don't leave here without making sure He's your Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and mercy. Lord, we come before You. Lord, what a great story. We know it's an actual event, and I hate to use the term story, but Lord, we know that this actually took place exactly like it's written. We ask You to move in a special way in the invitation. If there's any here that's not saved, any here that don't know for sure their names in the book of life, nobody's good enough. Church membership's not going to do it. Simply praying a prayer, words don't do it if it doesn't come from the heart. And Lord, we ask You to do something special this morning. You know our needs even better than we do. Please, Lord, don't let anyone leave here lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.